Grammy Award-winning jazz vocalist Dee Dee Bridgewater has been performing for more than 3 decades. For her most recent project, she traveled to the West African country of Mali in search of her African roots. The result was a true African-American musical collaboration called Red Earth. NPR's Tony Cox sat down with Dee Dee to talk about the album and her experience in Mali. It said, "Little girl, you
are my child." My ancestors came from Africa. I might as well try to find out which area of Africa. So I decided to listen to music from different West African countries because I knew that most of the slavery in the United States came predominantly from West Africa. So every time I heard music from Mali, it was like I knew this music. So I went in 2004 and just had a string of extraordinary experiences and led me to believe
these are my roots on this red earth. They have red clay in the south, and they have red dirt in Hawaii, and they have red earth in Mali.
Many people are drawn to red earth.
You know, you've had such a remarkable career. I don't know that people know that you have been on Broadway, that you've acted, you've sung.
But I'm a Goodwill Ambassador for League of the United Nations as well.
Yes, you
are. The Food and Agriculture Organization.
You consider yourself a singer first and foremost?
I consider myself a musician.
And why do you say that?
Oh, because I'm not a singer.
Okay, well, explain
I'm a musician. I don't think that I hear music like singers, like a singer does. I like to interpret, but I love to change the color of my voice and the texture of my voice depending on the song that I'm doing and the emotions that I'm trying to get across. In the days when I was really, really scatting a lot, I've always thought of my voice as a trumpet. I've always wanted to have a band that would be a band like an instrumental group would be, where everyone has their moment. And I have a great deal of respect for musicians.
Well, what did you want your music to do?
I wanted my music to make a mark, to be an inspiration to other musicians and singers. I want to be someone whose music will go on after I leave this earth. And I feel that I will probably get a lot more respect after I'm dead than while I'm alive.
You know, you said that you're a singer, a musician, not just a singer. But are there singers for whom you have great admiration and whose voices you respect and admire?
Oh, of course there are. My biggest inspiration is Betty Carter. And I wanted to grow up and be like Betty. I wanted to have that kind of freedom because for me, Betty Carter was the epitome of a jazz singer because not only did she improvise, I mean, she changed so much stuff in the way that she would take a tune and just dissect it. And I was always fascinated with Betty. I really was inspired also by Nina Simone. She was the woman who I really feel showed me the beauty in being a black woman.
Is that why you put four women on
your CD? Yes, I had to pay tribute to Nina. My skin is black. My arms are long. My hair is woolly, my back is strong enough to take the pain.
Those four women that
they're
described,
so
they're very different, right?
Yes, because she's talking about the whole fabulous, you know, dichotomy of our blackness. For me, as an actress, I acted, and I become each one of the women. So I'm really just telling the story. My name is
Aunt Sarah. I'm so happy that you came in, and we're going to kind of bring our conversation to a close, but we can't do that.
This is short,
we
Tony.
We're not done yet. We have to talk about move on down the road.
Oh, ease on down the road.
That was a phenomenon that people who are not old enough perhaps don't really appreciate at the time that it came out. Plus, you know, black folks were taking on, you know, an icon in terms of white musical culture.
Every week when we first opened on Broadway with The Wiz, which I have to say, it was an amazing experience from the standpoint that everything I know about being on a stage, I learned from doing that musical. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the way that I can communicate with an audience and all of that came from doing theater.
As you look at the arc of your incredible career, Dee Dee, what do you see and where do you see that arc taking you next?
I'm interested in helping other singers. It's very interesting. Singers.
I understand.
To find their voices and realize, you know, their dreams or the music that they hear in their heads. I feel I am the kind of producer that can really help an artist to do that without trying to put some stamp on it.
I understand. Here's my final question for you. It's this. And I ask this because you and I are from the same generation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that people in our generation tend to feel is that at this stage, we've worked so long, so hard.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have a good time with mm-hmm. what we do. Right? Mm-hmm. Are you having a good time?
No.
Well,
no, I'm not having a good time.
I'm really sorry to hear
that. I love what I do, but I've been doing it nonstop. So I've been touring for 20 years, nonstop touring. Touring.
So you want to retire?
I don't want to retire. I want to do some acting. I want to do something where I can be still. I'm tired of hotel rooms. My daughters keep telling me I need to write a book about the best shopping in all the major airports in the world. I mean, I live in airports, hotels, airplanes. And then I have a place where I can drop my bags in the States, and that's in Henderson, Nevada. And then I have a place where I can drop my bags in Paris, France.
But you do have something that few people have.
What is that?
You can either turn on the radio or turn on your iPod, and you can listen to great music that you produced.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you here.
Oh,
thank you.
I wish
we had more time.
Me too.
We're
just getting wound up.
I'm telling you.
That was jazz singer Dee Dee Bridgewater speaking with NPR's Tony Cox about her latest CD, Red Earth, A Malian Journey. She also hosts the NPR program Jazz Set. There's more of this interview with Dee Dee at our website, where she talks about her experiences with discrimination.
I started to do dreadlocks, and I started to experience racism again just because of my little, dreadies. And, if I was being flown, for concerts, usually I'm flown first class, and I would have businessmen ask to be reseated.
Watch her explain that and more on our blog, nprnewsandviews.org.